John's Gospel, chapter 16. Gospel of John, chapter 16. Nevertheless, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is the Lord Jesus speaking, and he always tells the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now let's look over in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Look back a page to the 4th chapter. Chapter 4, verse 13. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. It shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Can we read a few verses in 2 Samuel chapter 18? 2 Samuel chapter 18. Verse 28. And Himeas called and said unto the king, All is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, Blessed be the Lord thy God, which has delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, Is the young man Absalom safe? Himeas answered, When Job sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, Turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came. Cushai said, Tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, Is the young man Absalom safe? Cushai answered, The enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt. Be as that young man is. And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. You are hearing about the Lord Jesus already tonight, the person in salvation. We often say salvation is not a thing, it's not a creed, it's not a doctrine, it's a person. That person is none less than the Lord Jesus himself. He died upon the cross of Calvary to put away sin. You're hearing about that already. I want to speak for a few minutes tonight about the person again, but a different person, and that is the person of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ provided salvation when he died on the cross. But it's the Holy Spirit of God that brings it home to us and lets us see it and allows us to know what it is to be saved. And it's the Spirit of God that gives us birth into the family of God. You see, both persons are very much included in this great salvation that has been provided. In fact, all three persons. For God gave up his Son in order to go to the cross of Calvary to die for it. Now the second person, I shouldn't really say the second person, because that sounds like as if there's a steps. God the highest, and then the Spirit, and then the Son. No, it's not that way. They're equal. And the Son had a work to do, and he did it. He satisfied the claims of a holy God. He doesn't have to do it again, and he will never do it again. He satisfied the claims of God against sin, against your sin and mine. But now that he has done that, he's gone back to heaven. In fact, he's telling his disciples here, I have to go back. Because if I didn't go back, the Comforter wouldn't come. In other words, the Holy Spirit that he's speaking of, he wouldn't come. But he says, when I go, he will come. And on the day of Pentecost, he did. What's his work now? The work has been accomplished as far as salvation is concerned. It's all provided. There's nothing else to be done. Nothing else to be accomplished. And that's what leaves you and I without anything that we can do or hope to do in order to get God's salvation. But the Spirit of God, what his work is to do, look at the chart again. The Savior himself is the door. That's not hard to understand. He says, I'm the door. But there's a person that's pointing the way to the door. That's the work of the Spirit of God. There's another person involved. Some people think he's just an influence. I want to tell you he's a real person. And he's the one that's keeping people occupied with anything and everything and filling and polluting their minds so that they don't get to the door. Now listen. Let's get down to where the tire hits the road right now. If it is God heaven that you want to get to, then is it not only common sense for a person to stop and consider what God says is the terms to get there? I'll never be in the Queen's palace. I was close to it, I saw it, but she'd never invite me. But if she did, my sister was there and had tea with her. She wouldn't bother with me. But if she did invite me, you think I'd go with rags? Man, my shoes would be shined to a polish. And my suit would be just the very best. Everything would be appropriate to meet the Queen, and rightly so. Is it any less important to be dressed appropriate to be in the presence of God? How can that be? The sin question has to be settled. Sins have to be taken away, that's your sin and mine. Oh, to somebody again. You're on the sin question. Well, Brother Albert was on it. So, we're both on it. For the reason, we have to, look, if we didn't tell both sides of the story, we might as well go away. There's too many of that. And my friend, in the world today, there's those men that stand behind a proclaim like this, and they're telling people, just do the best you can. It's contrary to that book. And they'll tell you, do the best you can. Listen, I want to see before we go any further, there's nobody does that. Nobody does that. So nobody would get to heaven in that condition. I want to see more. You and I both could have done a whole lot better today. No, but nobody can do the best they can. It's an impossibility. And God knows that. So first of all, our sins have to be taken away. And then, of course, somebody says, what sin? As much as to say, I'm not a sinner. You know what God says in his book here? Yeah, but you see, there's a lot of things in that book. Yes, there is. And from Genesis to Revelation, it dovetails together into one perfect book. 66 books. Dovetail, and what's more, it's amazing. It's amazing. If you, look, if you start to read it, there's two men that were infidels. They got together one year, and they said, look, let's get through that book that they're all talking about, and point out all the problems in it, and point out all the what do you call it? All the, contradictions. That's what they wanted to get. So they started. They worked at it a whole year, and they got together. And when they came together, one says to the other, what did you find out? He says, I found out as a sinner, and I got saved by the grace of God. He says, thank God. He says, the same thing happened to me. I'm convinced the person that takes that book and reads it, and takes it as it is, just as it is, that person is going to get saved. Leave it out, you've got nothing. I've got no argument apart from this. And you know what I'm saying? Even the book of Isaiah, look at it. It dovetails together. 700 years before Christ came into the world, things that were forecasted. You come to Psalm 22 and it says, they pierced my hands and my feet. Unthought of in those days. Yet there it is in the book. And the thing came round to the point where crucifixion was brought in. And the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Stoning was the death for Jews. And yet here's a Jew and he's hung up on a tree. It's amazing, isn't it? That's only one thing. There's just one thing after another. And it all... Look, if a person was to read the Old Testament and see what's forecasted and then down to the very unique detail carried out, they'd have to say, there's something about that book. Yes, there is. There's no mistakes. No mistakes. Take that book away from me. I had nothing. Take that book away from all of us and we'll all be in the lake of fire because that's all we deserve. However, God in His rich, sovereign, electing grace and mercy, He's done something about it. He opened a way home to heaven through a door. And of course, there's a lot of people wrap their cloak of self-righteousness around them and say, I'm doing a good work. Well, certainly, that's fine. That's wonderful. And the more good work a person can do for fellow man and for mankind, that's wonderful. Two less people doing it. But that's got nothing to do with it. In fact, in Isaiah 64:6, all our righteousnesses are smith and eggs. As far as getting to heaven is concerned, the very best deeds that you can do, as far as God is concerned, before a person gets saved, smith and eggs. Now, I didn't put that in your Bible, but it's there. What's he saying? If all the best deeds that I can do is filthy rags in the sight of God, in God's name, what must our sins be like? And those sins have to be put away before a person can be in heaven. I said the other night, I'll say again, a person would be like a hen in a hot griddle, would be like a fish out of water if he was in heaven with his sins on. So what he's saying here is, he's bringing in the Holy Spirit of God. He brings to the mind what the book says. And all of the book. Not just some of it. Young girl, well, she was about 23, just married a few months. Died at the west end of the island. We went up to the, what they call the wake. Somebody said, there's a young girl in there in the other room. crying her eyes out. Would you go in and talk to her? It was a cousin of the girl that was in the casket. I said, what's your problem? She says, I know that Carol has something for eternity. She says, I know that she's in heaven. I know that. But if that was me in that casket, it wouldn't be that way. I wouldn't be in heaven. And she says, I would like to have what she had. She says, can you help me? So we went through the scriptures, backwards and forwards. First of all, went into the reason why we need to be saved. The reason why our sins have to be forgiven. And the reason that God put, as far as salvation is concerned, how it all comes about. We went over, backwards and forward, maybe for an hour. She says, I can see a lot. I can understand what you're saying. I'm not saved. I haven't got what she has. Tell me more. That time we were, just about that time we were reading John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word, believeth him that sent me, hath everlasting life. And she says, I see that. Everlasting life, that's what I want. But I can't get it. What's wrong? She says, I can see the idea of it. I can see how it happens, but I can't see I'm saved. What's wrong? Like a boy out of adventure, I said, is there anything in this book that you can't believe? Because it does say, he that heareth my word, the Lord Jesus speaking, believeth him that sent me, hath. Is there something in this book that you can't believe? Well, she said, let's not get onto that. I said, oh, hold on a minute here now. Seems to me there is something. Well, she said, you know, I'm going to college down there in Charlottetown. And she says, the professor, but she says, I don't want to get into that. She says, that's got nothing to do with this. I don't want to get my mind all tied up with that stuff. She says, I want to get saved right now. I believe she meant to. Hold on a minute. If there's something that you have, not just taking it in about what God says, we can go no further. Tell me, what is it? Well, she said, the professor tells us that we came by way of tadpoles and so on. And she says, I know that the Bible says we came by way of Genesis chapter 2 and 3. So therefore, she said, that there is a, but you see, don't you see, she says, that's got nothing to do with what we're talking about. That's got nothing to do with salvation. So let's forget about that. I don't want to think about that for a moment. Let's get on with the other. Oh, hold on a minute here, young woman. You can't go any farther. If you can't believe God as to where you come from, and you're here already, how in the world are you going to believe God as to where you're going? You haven't been there yet. She said, I said, we can go no further. We sat there a good 15 minutes. You could see she was studying in her mind. Finally, she spoke up and said, I wish I could get that stuff out of my mind, what the professor tells us. But she says it's there. That's 20 years ago. She's not saved yet. I want to tell you there's a real deceiver in the world. And he'll deceive men and women on any count whatsoever. He'll tell them anything. Why doesn't people just believe what God says? What's wrong with taking God at His word? For the simple reason that God is a person that cannot lie. And the audacity of it. People expect to be in heaven. You know what? I better not say it. People expect to be in heaven, and yet they don't want to do it in God's way. But here's the Spirit of God. That's his work, to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That's his work. That's what he's doing in the world today. And if he isn't convicting you tonight, that's sad. Because you can't get saved without that. You might as well put it down. You just can't get saved. I hear people say sometimes, I'll get saved at 11th hour. Some will say, well, I'll get saved when I like. You can't get saved when you like. And there's some people say, I would like to be saved, but I want to wait until such a preacher comes along. I want to get saved under his preaching. My daughter said the same thing. She didn't want to get saved under Mr. Ramsey. Would you believe it? That's when she got saved, when he was preaching. You can't bargain with God. You can't just do what you like. You have to come to this book. And whatever God tells you, that's what you're going to have to accept. Or else. And if you don't want to accept that, then we've got nothing more to tell you. We can't help you. We can't even do anything anyway as far as that's concerned, but we can't tell you of anything more. We can't go and get some kind of a literature and bring it to you and say, well, if you don't want that, we'll give you something else. No, we can't do that, and we don't want to do that. There's too many at it. This world is filled with men standing behind a platform like this, telling people, do the best you can and live a good life, and God will have to do something for you. And if you give 100 cents to the dollar, and if you give a few dollars to the church, my friend, it's all false. If a person could get to heaven with what they do, or they can do, and I say again, it's wonderful that people can do things and help their neighbors and so on. That is wonderful. But if a person could get to heaven under those conditions, I say it carefully. I say it reverently. Calvary was a blunder. Why do you think that God would allow his son to come from heaven? Why would God look down through the maze of stars, planets, and all the heavenly bodies and pinpoint a little cosmic dust called Earth? Look at it. Look at it. God so loved the world. Is that true or is it not? Well, if that's true, listen to the next bit, that he gave his only begotten son. Is that true? You know there was somebody came from heaven, died on the cross? Is that true? What else does it say? Whosoever believeth in him. Everlasting life. That's God's plan. That's his only plan. From Genesis to Revelation, you can't find anything else. The whole thing is pointed to Calvary in the Old Testament. Now we're looking back at it. The Old Testament people, they were looking forward, and they believed the message from God. These all died in faith, Hebrews 11. Not having yet the substance, but they had the promise, and the promise of God was good enough. Now we're looking back and we saw it happen. It's a lot easier for us to get saved than it was for them. Because God could change his mind. He did with Nineveh. But now we know it has happened. Christ did die on the cross. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, I want to show you here tonight, I'm not going to get to the others, so I just have to leave it because the time is gone, but I just want to leave you with this. If you're willing, if you want to get to heaven, and if you're willing just to take God at his word, it's his heaven, Surely, 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 he has a right to tell you how to get there. I think it's only common sense for a person to accept that. I know when my sister went to have tea with a queen one time, you know, she was, I got a picture of it. She was dressed to the nines. She had to have a certain kind of a hat on. She couldn't go on her bare head. And her husband that was getting the order of the British Empire, whatever it was, he was dressed, I'll tell you, in such a certain way. And the picture showed him bowing before. She wouldn't have accepted him any other way. And yet people expect God to accept me and my sin. Even if I only have one wrong thought, that's sin. If I only had one wrong word, that's it. And if I was allowed to be in heaven for 5 minutes with one sin on me, it would be most miserable. But I'm so thankful that all of my sins were dealt with at Calvary. And I said before one night, I'll say again, I'm so thankful that God didn't say to me, McElwain, go get your sins and bring them, and I'll make sure they're put on Christ. That couldn't happen, because that happened 2,000 years ago. Well, if it happened 2,000 years ago, how could my sins? God knew every one of them. And God, who knew them, laid them on him, and believing I go free. Now, why argue? What's the sense of us, you know, as far as arguments are concerned, I could argue something too. And the next person could argue something. But it all comes down to where the tire hits the road, right here. May God help every one of us just to take it as it says. The Lord Jesus opened the door. The Holy Spirit of God brings the person to the door. But he must be willing. God's not going to take conscripts to heaven. Only volunteers. You know why? Because every person that gets saved becomes part of the bride of Christ. And God is not going to force his son to accept anyone that doesn't appreciate him. You know, that's the reason why we say we love him. Because he first loved us. May God help someone tonight to realize it is important. And I want to just say this before, I'll say this one thing before I stop. And it's this, in Genesis 6 and 3, he says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. If there is one single solitary thought going through your mind tonight about eternity, I want to tell you right now, that's not natural. That's the Spirit of God. And that's your day of opportunity to take advantage of what God has told you. You do so, and you'll be saved by the grace of God. Shall we pray? Our God, our Father in heaven, in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus, we humbly bow before thee again. We thank thee for thy precious word that thou hast given us. We thank thee thou hast made it so simple and so plain. And our Father, we thank thee it dovetails together from start to finish. It tells us about our sin. It tells us about the Lord Jesus that died for our sins. And we thank thee it tells us about the Holy Spirit of God that will bring people to understand it. And they'll be able to go away rejoicing in thy salvation. We ask this then for those in our meeting tonight, as well as those who come from time to time. And grant, Lord, that we may have the joy very soon of hearing of someone trusting the Savior of men. For we ask it in his own worthy and his precious name. Amen. In number 156, 156. Why do you wait, O sinner? Oh, why do you tarry so long? When Jesus is waiting to give you a place in his sanctified throng. You must sing the whole hymn, number 156.